All right, so we have the Lowrys with us. Hello. We can go around and reintroduce ourselves. I know you've already done this before, but name?
Yeah.
What community group you're in? How long you've been a bench? You want to start us?
Awesome.
Also, we always sit in the same format. I love this.
My name is Andrew Passeri. I've been here since something like 2011 and part of the craft community.
Alexia, same. I'm Laura Berglund. My husband, Andrew, has also been coming, but he's having another baby. I've been here since like 2016 and we're in the class.
I'm Jess Berlin, Brad Hurst, and my husband, Lynn. And we're in the presence group two, and here since 2018.
I'm David. I've been here since 2016. I'm in McLean's group.
I'm Josh Lowry. We've been here since 2019. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in the Murphy's group.
I'm Cassie Lowry. Same.
Yeah. You said 2019?
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. Their group has been navigating COVID, like all of ours. They're doing some like pod stuff, which is pretty cool. Meeting in kind of two separate groups to be able to meet safely. Largely because their group has like 40 people in it. They should just be their own church. But, anyway, so if you're interested, you should ask them about it. All right. So, just to reiterate, there are a number of ways that you can start groups. So we're just using kind of the first little bit of training just to go through a couple of those and try them on, see how they fit. Last week we talked about icebreakers and how they aren't as bad as I think they are. There is a way to do them. So this week, I mean, we're talking about how to know the gospel. So one way that you can open group is just asking people, hey, what's the Lord been teaching you in the scriptures lately? With a little bit of an asterisk on it, that if you have like doubter seekers in your group, people who are not reading the scriptures, then like you just have to navigate that differently, right? Otherwise you ostracize them because they're like, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't believe it, you know? So anyways, yeah, we can just popcorn. We don't have to go all the way around the room. But if there's anything that's like really stood out to you as you've been reading the Bible lately, what's the Lord been teaching you?
Genesis 1 through 3, and Ann Fletcher, who was teaching, went very slowly and like really got into the details, like verse by verse. And I just feel like, oh, you hear Genesis 1 through 3, and like as a leader, like, oh, I've heard that many times, like that, like been there, done that, which was in here this week. But the Lord just, I think I just realized, like, you know, you can learn new things through His Word, like, no matter how many times you read it. And yeah, I was just blown away by like breaking down creation and the fall and all those things into their details. And yeah, it was a lot. I'm still processing everything she like taught us, but it was cool just to be in a very like the very beginning and be like, wow, I'm learning something new about Jesus through this.
I mean, for me, and to be honest with you, I haven't picked up the Bible a ton this week, so this isn't really scripture-based, but I think it's the ideas of the stuff that we've read here, as well as kind of last time what we talked about, like how reading the scripture is what drives, you know, getting to know Jesus better. I think that's something lately that's resonated with me well, and I think jumping into this community group leader stuff, just understanding, like, I feel like I feel a lot less pressure with it now, just knowing that, you know, someone's coming to you with, you know, I don't believe in X, Y, and Z, and show me why. It's like just point to the scriptures versus you having to especially the reading today, I feel like it made me a more humble potential leader one day, just because it said, read, you know, don't preach to people, but facilitate the group and not try to push on people. So that's something that God's been telling me.
I think for me it's been like, reading the Bible and spending time with God, like it's a relationship that you have to work at, and so there's a lot of days now where I'm sitting in carpool for like an hour, which at the beginning of the school year I was like, oh, this sucks, I don't want to do this is an hour of my day every single day. But now I'm like, you know, this is probably a really good time, and like Gus, my son, is sitting in the car with me, and like this is a good opportunity where I can just like sit with Jesus and he can see that. And so trying to just like, I've been given an hour every single day, and will it happen every day? Probably not. But it's a really, it's a gift, whether or not I choose to see it that way.
Do not view it that way.
I feel like for me, just in our group and just in personal things, there's just been a lot of like heaviness, loss, and a lot of sickness. And I mean, we've had friends who've had parents pass away like every week for the past 3 weeks. So I think that's kind of been weighing heavy on me. But the alternative to that is like seeing just moments of goodness and whatnot. And like, I feel like it can turn to like two directions. You're like, become really like jaded to things, and I do that sometimes too. But I think alternative is just gives you a different lens and perspective on like God's faithfulness and just things. So I think just in some moments I've been feeling that like closeness and goodness when things are heavy. But I just think that's kind of been top of mind for me for the past couple of weeks.
Cool. Thanks for sharing, Neil. I think that's sort of, we've already talked about this, but just as leaders, being able to lead discussion as participants, I think is really helpful. Like being able to be vulnerable. Sometimes we do have to lead out of vulnerability to where like we're willing to put our mess on the table, when other people might not be, when there might be new people and I feel awkward or something. That sometimes I think we do lead in vulnerability, but man, it is so important, I think, for leaders to be people. To like, if you do something like this in group, like being willing to say like, I don't feel like the Lord's speaking to me right now. Like things are really hard, or like whatever that is. That sort of vulnerability is good for your people. Otherwise, you come across as like a perfect, individual, and they can't relate to you. Cool. Well, this week we're launching into week two of Know the Gospel. So last week we looked at why in the world are we reading the Bible? And this week we're going to get a little more into the how. Though I do want to read, we've read it before, but just read it for us again. 2 Timothy 3:16, everything that we do in group, going to God's word, is all kind of up under this verse. Here, I'll just read it for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that can also be person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. I do think one thing that can be helpful is just to kind of revisit like leader expectations. You already looked at the role description, but like when we're coming to the like discussion on Wednesday night or whenever you meet, just to think through like what are the expectations out of you as a leader. So you're expected to set aside some time to prepare. That totally understands that life is crazy for all of us, okay? Things are going wild, you don't have time to prepare, like, that's understandable. And, you know, if your group is doing something other than discussion, like doing a prayer gathering, going out to eat or something, like, of course you don't have to prepare. So it's not this, like, you better prepare every week for the rest of your life or else. Like, you know, there's some understanding there. That preparation, I do think, is studying the passage. When I first started leading, I remember Instagramming, like, looking back on it, I was like, I'm so embarrassed about this. It's still on my Instagram, like, whatever that page is, if you want to go look at it. Where I had, like, my study Bible and my chart of Greek verbs and my Greek New Testament out, and it was something about, like, preparing for community group is such a privilege, blah, blah, blah. So dumb. Please don't do that. I'm not expecting you to, like, read exhaustive commentaries. I'm not expecting you to do Greek word studies. Like, that's not what I'm saying when I say study. And that's twofold. One, you don't have time for that. I think that's an unrealistic expectation for facilitating community group. And two, a lot of times when we, like, overload our study, that could prepare us, like, make us really passionate about the passage that we're talking about, super stoked for people to get into it, or it could puff us up with knowledge, and then we're just, like, waiting for people to stop talking so we can tell them everything that we read that week. So keep that in mind. That's not an encouragement to study less. That is just an encouragement, like, think through, like, why am I reading up on commentaries? Am I just trying to make sure, like, I know the answer to every question or anything like that? So study simply means, like, so you have we looked at it last week, you have the passage intro that we write, which is meant to be that sort of launching off point. I think the best way to go about it is, you know, you hear the sermon, you read the passage, you've got the intro, and then to be able to pull out maybe one other resource, particularly when it comes to what's a question you still have about the passage personally that you haven't, I didn't write anything about, Tyler didn't preach anything about. Like, what's something in the passage that you still have a question about, or something that's, like, interesting to you that you want to explore a little more? Because I think, like, we're not there to be able to answer everything about the question. Like, I'm not there, you're not there to do that. However, I do think that it's helpful if, as leaders, we're studying not just to be prepared so that, like, we're not surprised by the next question that we read, but then also so that, like, we're kind of cultivating our love for the scriptures. Like, these, I once heard the scriptures described as an inexhaustible treasure. You cannot stop digging. There, you cannot get to the bottom of it. And I think if we use our study time, like, not necessarily to have all the answers, but to, like, stir up our heart for the scriptures, like, that's a great use of time. So study, prayer, just to put it in perspective, like, I don't think you should be preparing for longer than an hour. Like, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, like, I think that's an appropriate amount of time. That's kind of assuming you've already heard a sermon about it. So kind of take that a little bit. I'm not checking up to see if everybody listens to the sermon, but and just to hit this, right, the goal isn't that you know everything, but that you feel confident facilitating discussion. That is to say, I think you as a leader should feel every freedom to say you don't know something. Somebody asks a question, be willing to say, I don't know, especially, like, in a teaching environment. Super important for you to say at least a couple times, I don't know the answer to your question. Because they know you don't know everything. So, like, if you don't ever say, I don't know, then you're not being honest. Point number two, just like you work from the passage intro as your starting point, that you would start with the questions that we write, or I write, as your starting point, you do not have to use those questions verbatim. I actually don't want you to. What I want you to do is to take those questions as your starting point, to look at them, and to think about your people. And to think, are those questions going to hit my people? Is it going to get them thinking? Is it off base for my people? Did I just have a conversation with, like, two people in group, and they're really wrestling with blank? anything like that that helps you operate from your knowledge as your community group leader, to take your community groups leader, to take these questions and like make them specific to your people, do it. So if that means, you know, taking a question out and putting a new question in, or editing some of the questions or anything like that, like, feel free. I tell leaders, like, man, I give you the responsibility to facilitate, but I also trust you with the authority, as the authority of your group, to try to hone questions that are gonna fit. That's why I talked a little bit in the reading that you had just about how to like ask good questions, right? We don't ask yes or no questions. We try to answer questions that open rather than close on specific points, that sort of thing. So yeah, point three, as needed, you would edit, reword, add questions, etc. Any questions about that? Prep, how to use the guides prior to when you're in community group discussion.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's kind of related to question number four in the pre-work. I know we'll talk about it a bit later, but just going along with the preparation and format, mm-hmm. I feel like I've been in three or four different community groups, and a lot of, like, all of them are different time commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them are real punctual, end an hour, you're out, but then some of them are more like family oriented, where you're there 2-3 hours. Like, what is there? I think you said like an hour for content, but like if you actually don't really want, like this sounds really selfish, but if I don't want people over for more than like an hour and a half, like, you know, you're just not, you know, wanting to commit 3 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, or should I expect to? Because I know it said commit like 1.5 to 3 hours. Like, is that an issue if you did not want people? I mean, obviously if someone's like mocked, I just would be terrible. Like, you'd be there for them, but not making it this open house all day.
Yeah. Yes. So I think 1.5 hours is probably the lower end.
Okay.
If you want to stick to that lower end, or even have people like, if they're in your house and out your house in an hour, how long functionally do you have to do discussion? Some groups, it does make sense to be, you know, like 1.5 hours. Some groups with kids, they'll either meet like right at the end of the workday, and they'll like meet for a little bit, they'll eat dinner, and then they'll go home so they can put the kids down, or they meet after the kids go down, so they meet a little bit later. So either way, you end up with less time, right? And so there are situations where I think it can make sense, but I always tell those groups that if that's gonna be the case, it is non-negotiable. You all have to have other times with your people outside that night. Like, I think that we'll talk about it in Live the Gospel. I think it's good for every group, but especially if you want to have this sort of abbreviated time with group, it can make sense for groups. However, so much of group has to do with sort of downtime, like where we're just chatting over food or like getting to know a new person, anything like that. And especially if you've got 1 to 1.5 hours, you want to have a full-fledged conversation, like 45 minutes-ish, you know?
Like 45 minutes of content?
From prayer to prayer, like 45 minutes to an hour. Like, think then, I mean, you've got like 15 to 30 minutes to work with on either side of that. You know, people coming in the door, everybody's there, etc. So that's just not enough time, like, to do the sort of, like, interpersonal intermingling that you...
Totally.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
But, so, like, let's say it started at 7, you had, like, 15 minutes of meet and greet, let people flow in, run through the stuff from, like, 7:15 to 8:15, and then maybe have, like, a 15 to 30-minute buffer at the end for everyone to, you know, communicate, hang out, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, a healthy number?
So, again, I would say to that format that y'all should probably be doing something else together outside group, whether that's hanging out, you know, Sunday, grabbing lunch after service or something like that. I would think about it in the perspective of, is that what time with my family looks like? Do I come in the door, 15 minutes, we sit down and watch a show together, 15 minutes, and then I leave? Actually, like, when you like, at least how time with family looks like for me, like, man, we're sitting around, like, shooting the breeze for a long time, you know? So anyways, that's a, and again, there are situations where it makes sense to have shortened amount of time, but I do think if we want to be able to facilitate the sort of meaningful friend relationships, like I don't have any friends who I only see for an hour and a half once a week. Like we either have time that we spend together less frequently for longer periods of time, or man, I see them a lot, you know? So anyways, does that help?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Every group is,
yeah. Yeah, and a lot is tied to stage of life. Like when I was a college student in group, we hung out all the time. Like if we were together for 5 hours, that was awesome. But like, I don't have that much time now. You know, so yeah. That's a really good really good question. Any other questions from prep, how to use the guides, anything like that? No, you have to ask a question now. Yeah, that's required. No, any other questions? Cool. Also just wanted to start out with some like discussion objectives. What do you want, like the goal of this? Like we sit down, you know, I say, okay guys, we're gonna do this thing now. Maybe you do like an icebreaker question that doesn't suck, and then you get things going. What's the goal of that between then and when you pray for each other at the end? So I'd love to hear, I mean, feel free to take a moment to think about it, but like, what do y'all think the point of us opening the scriptures is?
I think it's that next level down from just hearing it on Sundays, because it's just hearing on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to talk about it at all. But it is that first chance to verbalize a bit of what we're reading.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to get extra points using community? Okay. Just so we're clear. Yeah, and even, you know, support, like having people help you get into the scriptures, which is basically what you said.
I feel like it facilitates deeper relationships.
That's okay. Good word. So are you thinking specifically evangelizing people who are like in the room or training for evangelism?
No, like making the room a safe space to invite non-believers, pastors, whatever we call it, to get to know God in a cooler setting, a more social setting.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Just to pause for a minute and explain, the reason we do like sermon-based Bible study, which again, I've mentioned this week one, my asterisk on that is we study the same passage that the sermon was preached on. We don't study the sermon. We don't discuss what Tyler said. What he said is great. We want to see what God says in his word. That's not to say Tyler's wrong, but so one of the helpful things is, like, you know, for some people, it's the first time they've heard it. For, you know, most people, it's the second time they've heard it. But, like, there are so many things that I've heard multiple times that I don't remember. So us looking at the same passage does open some new things, like you were saying, to get from a hearing to a, like, a me, an application point of view. But then also, like, so that I'm more likely to remember, like, what we were talking about in the passage by hearing it twice. So anyways, that's exactly why we do that.
Along that same line, like, my brain doesn't work the way that Tyler's does.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I would say I love it when Jordan Henry preaches and he's like, my thesis statement, my 4 points. Like, fabulous, I know what you taught. I know, like, I understand.
That's amazing. I'm going to go tell him that. His head's going to get giant.
Yeah. I know. Caleb's like, don't ever tell him that. But Tyler is a little bit like flowy, and I don't always like connect it. So being able to like go back and study the same passage and like dig through it like verse by verse sometimes is like more helpful for like how my brain works than like the sermon always is.
Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely true. So just like I was saying, you know, take my questions, hone them for your group. Like, I write these questions for 27 groups. So I write them more generically than I would like to. So you make them specific to your group. Similarly, Tyler preaches to 500 people on a Sunday. And so what we have the opportunity to do is the sort of narrowing, taking from listening to self, and to say, like, okay, well, there's some specific application to me. Tyler wasn't going to address me on stage, but we can together. So either simply benefiting from, like, you read the scriptures differently than I do. So, like, man, it is helpful to hear how other people read the scriptures so that I'm not subject to my blind spots all the time. But then also to say, but how do I read the scriptures? Because it is different than how Tyler reads the scriptures, and it's different from how we read the scriptures. Not to say that there isn't a underlying fundamental truth that we all arrive at, but we just understand, like, we organize information in our brains differently. Yep. Anything else? This is simply to summarize. We've already touched on all of these, but just 4 points that I think kind of help summarize what we're doing in community group. Number one, individual, authentic encounters with God's word. And that assumes that in his word we can encounter God himself. Individual, what we were just saying about, like, what does this say about me? Not some generic Christian. What does it say about my life? What does God think about my neighbors, where I work, the wrongs that were done to me years ago, like all this stuff. What does God say to me? And Christians historically are not good at this. We are not good about actually authentically engaging with the scriptures because we posture with one another to try to appear, you know, a certain way. And I realize that's a little bit of a buzzword, and, you know, we might get to a point where, like, this word doesn't mean anything anymore. But for now, like, that's what we're really going for, is that, like, actual Eric Spivey is reading the scriptures with actual other people and asking thoughtful questions. So that's individual authentic encounters. At some point in our discussion, we are going to reiterate the gospel. And that's whether you have doubters and seekers in the room or not, always having some sort of gospel bent to our discussion is incredibly important if we have doubters and seekers in the room. But it's also incredibly important no matter who's in the room, because, like, we as followers are so inclined to forget the actual thing that saves us, because we tend to read the scripture and we're like, okay, I got to keep working hard. I got to keep doing better. Got my spiritual to-do list, and I'm going to be pleasing to the Father. No, like, we have to trust again and again that God saves us by His grace and live out of that. So, like, we believers need this every day. So we want to make sure that in our discussion that we reiterate the gospel. And a lot of times in discussion, there's kind of a point that makes sense for us to be talking about, like, you know, what is it that saves us? But then also a lot of times discussion follows like a gospel kind of trend line almost, that, you know, we start out kind of understanding what's in the passage, but then we get to, at some point, misalignment between my life and what the passage says. Like we just said, this is what the passage says I should believe. And then we're going to have some sort of discussion where it's like, okay, where don't you believe that? How does the grace of God cover that? How is He leading you to trust Him more? All this stuff. So, like, if it's not explicit, it's implicit in the way we do discussion. Third, that all people feel included, supported, and cared for. Important, even if they're disagreed with. Okay, we're not just doing discussion where everybody's right. But we do want to make sure that even if we disagree with one another, that, like, we can do discussion in a way that accomplishes this. And that gets a little bit to, like, what we're doing, live the gospel, how we care for one another. That's a little bit in discussion, a little bit outside of it. But nevertheless, we want to make sure we're caring for people. And then four, that there are real tangible application points. Thanks for putting up with my terrible handwriting, y'all. This is my bent, is to read the Bible and dig into, like, cool, interesting facts. And isn't this amazing what the author was doing, blah, 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 blah. All right, everybody go home. And it, like, have no touch point on what it means to actually, like, live as a human being. Some people are the opposite, right? Like, I don't care about all that. Just tell me how to live. So there's a balance. But I always have to be reminded, like, we have to get to what does this mean for my life? And I think that does have some of the, like, individual, you know, it's a little bit different than me in my situation versus you in your situation, that sort of thing. Like, it is pretty individualized. But we do have to arrive at something here, because God's word does send us out into the world. It does shape our life. It does change what we do and how we speak and how we think. So if we're not coming up with something about, like, okay, well, the word calls us to live a certain way that, no, like, we're not living. There's something in our life that doesn't align with the scriptures. So let's talk about it. Because if we trust that God's word, living, active, and powerful, but also that God is good, like, to us and for us, working in us and through us, then, like, at some point there has to be something in my life where I got to be looking at it and saying, man, I got to trust the Lord more. And whether that's a tangible, like, I'm going to go share the gospel with that person, or it's, yeah, I do have a temper problem. I should really talk to somebody about that. I don't know what to do about it, but man, I sure do. Awesome. Like, we are being changed by the scriptures, by the power of the Spirit. That's great. So we gotta make sure we get here. Oh yeah, sure. Oh, is it chili in there? Oh, sorry. Chili? Anybody? Everybody chili? You're chili? Okay, cool. Wait.
I'm good.
Chili? Chili?
I'm comfortable.
Okay. That sweater. Yeah, you got the vents right there, so that side of the room is cold, but this side of the room is not. Okay, any questions? Did that stir any ideas in people? I'm not telling you the right answer, I'm just trying to summarize some of what we're doing. What'd that jar loosen, y'all?
Parents with kids who have like similar life stuff, but I don't want that to be my whole group. Like, I'm even thinking of like my friends who are not in the same life stage as me, or even like go to church. Like, how do I have meaningful conversation, relationship if they're not? I don't know. Like, and I don't even know how I would start. Like, obviously, I have Andrew, we could talk about it, but like, what are other groups doing? Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So twice a year, outside of a worldwide pandemic, hypothetically, we do twice a year gatherings with all the community group leaders, and almost always there's some point in the night where we're learning from each other, because that's all the time I have people come to me like, hey, how do other groups tackle this? How do other groups tackle that? That's only two times in 12 months, so that's not necessarily enough, but that is one thing that we do. Another thing that can be helpful is your coaching group. Not all coaches do this, but I always encourage it when it's feasible. When, you know, so a coach typically has three groups under them. That's a full coaching load. For that coach to get all of those group leaders together periodically is really good, whether that's just building relationships with other people at Vintage, whether that's developing kind of cross group relationships. Like, we do have some groups where like two groups, I mean, y'all are kind of in this, but having two groups that do stuff together, which can be really cool. But then also, like, if y'all get dinner together, it's like, man, how do you tackle this? That kind of stuff's really helpful. But then also like keeping up with other people who plant and that sort of thing. But that's also like, man, if anybody, like, again, all the time I have group leaders reaching out to me to say, hey, how do other groups tackle this? And if it's just like an operational, like, how do groups tackle, you know, kid, like childcare or something, usually I know kind of what's going on across other groups. So that sort of factual stuff is pretty easy for me to disseminate. But when it comes to like shepherding people, how do I care for people and stuff? I love to put you in touch with other groups.
Right.
Yeah. I think cross group, like assistance, cross group pollination is awesome. I do not want people just sequestered in groups, never talking to each other. What else, y'all?
How, I guess, the application, I'm sorry, starting to talk really loud in your ear. number four, I probably have a bend more towards how does this apply to my life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we, you know, balance, you know, first question, you know, I think a lot of people who may be wired like me shoot straight to application.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super relevant. I don't feel like it's probably great to stop that, but at the same time, also getting across that we want to observe and we want to interpret too, without, I don't want to say derailing
mm-hmm.
conversation, because I think that that's valuable, but
mm-hmm.
I think, does anyone else maybe resonate like
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a couple things. I do think the way you ask questions helpful. I like to think of the, as you're moving through observation, interpretation, application, as you're moving through the questions, it's like the passage is right in front of your eyes, and it's like slowly and slowly getting further away. such that when we start out, like, we're just looking, like, what does that word mean? What does Paul mean when he says here? Like, we're just trying to understand this right here. And then slowly through discussion, we're saying, okay, well, what does it mean for my life? What does it mean for other people's lives? So how you ask those questions can be really important to where it is just a, like, what does that word mean? Or anything like that. But then point two is application, as much as in the questions, we can kind of move application to the end. It doesn't have to only occur at the end. Actually, like, I think the way that we read the scriptures is we're kind of constantly diving in and out of observation, interpretation, application. And so it's okay, you know, if on the first question somebody's like, yeah, that's what I think that means for my life. Like, okay, cool. As long as you don't think that you've understood everything out of the passage, as long as you don't understand, as long as you don't think you've talked through everything we need to talk through, that's awesome. Like, you hang on to that application point. But if you think you know everything about the passage as a whole, even when we haven't observed everything and interpreted everything, like, we might have jumped to conclusions, you know? So I think anything you can do in conversation or in discussion to, like, take somebody's application, oh yeah, awesome. Okay, let's get back to the observation and interpretation. So, like, let's kind of slow down and sit with the passage. And your application could be, like, spot on, or it, like, we could have more to dig up here. Yeah, that makes sense?
Perfect.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of my questions from the reading too, was kind of coming off of that. Like, have we ever done or, like, had groups do, like, for a month, we're not going to do your sermon guides, but we're going to, like, systematically, like, talk about how and why we study the Bible and, like, go through these things so that our groups are more focused, so that, you know, group members come in with the intention of, like, we're going to intentionally study the Bible instead of coming in with, like, the typical Southern Christian, like, what does this mean for my life? Well, I like this verse and that, you know, like, that kind of fluffy stuff that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in groups when they're unfocused. Like, have groups ever done that? Have you ever, like, provided resources or something along that vein?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah, groups have, I've had groups do, do like a book study on, it's like 40 questions, 40 biblical interpretation questions, something like that. That's the title of it. I've had one group do that. There's another book I can't remember. I have not had a group do a, like, hey, for 4 weeks, we're just going to, basically the example you just gave. But yeah, do it. I do think that this sort of, like, intentional reading of the scriptures is about half caught, half taught. So I do think you can certainly, like, hey, let's talk about why we do what we do, et cetera, et cetera. But there is, I think, some benefit in... Every week, we ask these sorts of questions. I'm never going to ask you, what do you think this passage means for your life? You know, like, we just ask a certain sort of questions. And over time, that can, like, shape and form the way our people think about the scriptures. But yeah, I'd say go for it. Which, let's see, did we talk about it in your reading? Did it talk about what to do with book studies? I can't remember where that is. Like, if you wanted to do a book study instead of...
I feel like that maybe was the last...
Did it come up last week? Anyways, sorry. There are resources on the CG Leader website that are some... It's hard for me to remember what is in what place. On the CG Leader website, there is a post, and it's, what do I do if I want to do a book study in my community group? Sorry.
This is her book.
Yeah, that's funny. I was like, oh, that's what's going on. That's funny. There's a post on the CG Leader website, and it's, what do I do if my group wants to do a book study? And it goes through the, like, policy, like, recommendations on if your group wants to study a different book of the Bible, or if your group wanted to just do, like, a book study, you know, read Knowledge of the Holy, something like that. So look at that. There are some specifics in there about, like, if you can do it outside of the Wednesday gathering, that's great, but if you want to do it, kind of here's some guidelines. So, all right, cool. Just really quick, this, like, Sunday to CG cycle is kind of like an idealized version. I understand there are so many weeks, you know, you're not at Sunday, or you're at Sunday, but you're just thinking about what you had to do at work that week, and you don't remember what anybody said. That happens to me all the time. But ideally, what would happen is on Sunday, we hear the word preached. When we hear the word preached, when we hear God's, like, intention, truth, you know, anything that we find is out of alignment with our life, that should lead us to conviction. And that's not to say that it should lead us to, like, you know, being, like, super, like, torn up about anything. Like, that's not necessarily what conviction always looks like. However, I do think that when we hear the word preached, we should be like, man, I do want to, like, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I do want to turn away from my sin. Anything like that. It should lead us to conviction. That leads us into community group, where we look at this passage again, right? And where, hopefully, we can talk about what was convicting to us about hearing the word preached, that we can be vulnerable with each other, be authentic. And then as we process that with one another, hopefully out of that conversation, right, we're having some, like, legs to run on in terms of what does repentance, life change, anything like that look like. And then we're back into Sunday, such that there is the cyclical nature in our life of hearing the word preached, it drawing us to conviction, processing it in community, such that we're led to a healthy understanding of repentance, life change, and then we're just constantly refreshing and renewing in that sense. That's not always how it occurs, but again, like, that's the hope. That's the hope that when we're gathered together, that in our vulnerability, in talking about what the word is doing in us, that, like, we can experience that. All right. Let's see. Sorry, I'm managing my time. I'm actually going to skip this little quick exegesis. We did some good work with Ezekiel 47 last time. Anyways, so I do want to, we've already been talking a little bit about the small group leader's handbook and kind of what was relevant to y'all out of that. So I would like to discuss that. So just kind of generally, I don't have any specific question in mind, but what, when you're reading the small group leader's handbook, what stood out to you?
Are you referring to page 14
or what? The thing that doesn't have vintage logos on it. So the not just Bible study. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was taken out of the small group leader's handbook. My apologies.
What was the Ezekiel thing? Because I didn't read
it. Oh, we did that last week.
Oh. Okay.
That was when we were discussing.
Got it.
That was the weird stuff.
Yeah.
The weird stuff they looked at, yeah.
Because I was like, I didn't read anything about that this week. So.
No, you're good. Yeah, not just Bible study. What stood out to you from that?
Mm-hmm. I think my question kind of goes along with, like, the next part about discussion is, like, the logistical questions of, like, what do you do when a group member brings up and asks an unhelpful question, and then, like, the group goes down a rabbit trail? Or, like, yeah, how do you bring it back, or, like, what do you,
mm-hmm.
Like, we can ask the good questions that we planned, but, like, what do you do when, like, the group member comes up with one of the, like, actual questions, or things like that?
We'll 100% get to that. Let's talk about that under Know the Gospel, and let's stick right now with the observation, interpretation, application, but we'll get to it. Those are good questions.
It's kind of funny, because the thing that is sticking out to me, from it, I think, does relate to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically keeping everyone on task, but we don't want think people do that differently with different personalities and different group dynamics. But I think just being consistent and like this, I don't know what exactly that means, you know, for us and, you know, in our group, but I thought that was interesting, kind of viewing yourself as the judge of the room, kind of keeping order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that. Was similar to what kind of stood out to me was just that we are facilitating, and the point is that we're looking at scripture and God's word, and it's not like I'm a leader and I prepared this and I'll listen to what I'm going to teach you. And I like the distinction between observation, interpretation, and application. And I like we were discussing that a lot earlier, but that there is place for each of those parts, and all three are important, and they go together.
So we call community group leaders because there is a leadership like aspect to it. When it comes to doing discussion, you are on some level certainly facilitating, such that you're not trying to arrive everybody at a specific conclusion. You as a leader are trying to help regulate the situation, kind of courtroom metaphor, regulate the environment, kind of draw people forward, kind of shushing people if they need to, so that everybody can engage. So you are facilitating in terms of like, you're not responsible for getting everybody to a specific outcome or goal, or, you know, outside the like goals we were just talking about, like a specific like point out of the scriptures, let's say. But I don't call you community group facilitators for a reason, and that's because there are, depending on kind of your background, some like college ministries and other like small group ministries where they write, you know, the questions, and then as long as you're like a warm body, like even like if you might be like wet out of the baptismal, and they'll put this in your hands to go, you know, lead a discussion. And so we're not doing that. So it's not just like, you know, an idiot could like do whatever. So there is a sense to which you are leading people to the scriptures, but I do think it's helpful. Kind of basically all that to say, Josh, in that sort of like metaphor, to think I'm not responsible for teaching these people a specific thing or getting them to a specific spiritual point. However, I do want to like do my very best to like stir them up, like lead them to the scripture, push them to the scripture, like anything like that. And that does kind of have some leadership capacities to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I was kind of overwhelmed with it because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, that we want to listen, that we also want to call these, you know, ask these good questions, but also leave room. I just feel like I felt like almost like a heaviness. I'm like, I feel like there's a lot of responsibility to do, to let the room grow though too, so that you're not overwhelming the situation. So I just feel like, and it'll look different for each group, obviously, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I won't say that it's like effortless. But I do think two things that kind of are helpful there is to, like I was saying a minute ago, to free yourself of the responsibility of having to achieve this like specific, like there are plenty of times where I get to the end of community group discussion and I'm like, that kind of sucked. I'm not super pleased with that. And that's okay. Like, it's not my responsibility to make sure we all have a good time, you know? But then also to think through, think through the conversation a little bit like something that has momentum. Like, you know, if you had something that was rolling downhill, as opposed to like trying to like heave something over, like a lot of times what's, you know, maybe helpful, like imagine trying to like steer course over time. Like you might take kind of a long circuitous route, but like you could redirect something just slowly. I think conversation is a little bit like that. Like I don't have to like really get us to talk about something, and especially like the way that we ask questions, if we end up going a direction I didn't plan, that could be awesome, you know? And so then to think through, like there is some aspects to which you're setting a tone, you know, like some of the room setting you were talking about. But there have also been weeks where like everybody's giggly and I can't do anything about it and it's okay. We'll try again next week, you know? Actually makes me think, I mean, there's probably like a lot of parallels with parenting here that if I thought about it, I could come up with. But yeah, so I think anything that we can do to free ourselves from that sort of burden of responsibility can be really helpful. And to say like, man, we're going to have plenty of weeks where things don't go well. I don't remember to do this and that, and that's okay. That's also, as you get to know people, like the Pratts and Pluts, I'm sure y'all like this. Everybody's super gracious with one another once you know each other pretty well. And so like if, you know, Tyler asks a question that nobody understands, people will be like, hey, what do you mean? As opposed to everybody sitting in silence being like, what the crap did he just say? I don't know. You know, like, so anyway, so there's some grace there as well. I do want to ask this one. So how did reading, not just Bible study, how did reading that make you want to develop as a leader?
For me, I think one, listen more than I talk about that and approach the text. Mm-hmm. Also made me motivated to want to be prepared to know, you know, the scripture, dive into it, be accountable there, and then also make the group a space to challenge, but also love on people, so not be too challenging, but, you know, just think about the scriptures and go against countercultural things that, like I think in the beginning they were talking about the non-believer-believer thing, so I thought that was interesting.
I think that, like that story of just a reminder of like humility that God will use the days where you think you're doing the worst to actually make the most impact in people's lives. And the humility, like remembering the humility of like it's not whatever magical thing we say that's going to impact people's lives, it's the work that God has done.
I forgot to bring up so Small Group of Leaders Handbook, it's written for college leaders in InterVarsity. So that explains a little bit of the cheesiness. Just saying that. Yeah, you read that opening story and you're like, oh gosh, oh, that sucks.
That person would never come back to our group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that she came back. I was like, no, you, like, I mean, I think that you should follow the Lord and give him your life, but you should have been mad about that, I think. I don't know.
I would have been really mad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, how else did it make you want to develop?
I think it's not like detaching from the outcome, because I think as a leader, like you're super invested in your people, and what's going on. But I guess for me, my bend is a little bit towards control. So like understanding I care, but I don't really have control over the outcome. And there's not really anything I can say to coerce or like shift where people are spiritually. I thought that was from this, also kind of you mentioned that as well. So not like underselling yourself that you're just a facilitator, but also realizing that, I mean, you could do everything right, and like the timing for the Holy Spirit is just different on some of us in life. So just think, yeah, that. Growing in, like, in a realization of that and playing that out is kind of how I want to develop.
And I think that realization could really cultivate dependence on the Lord. Man, just praying, like, I got 12 people in my living room. I cannot make anything out of this without the Spirit being with us. The kind of flip side of this question is, like, how you want to develop as a leader. Like, when you were reading it, did it identify for you any areas where you're like, oh, man, that's a weak spot for me as a leader? If so, what?
Like, say something off of that, and then later on, somebody else would be like, how did you say that? Tactless, that's the word that he said, but yeah, I can't be very tactless. But then also, oh yeah, where he was explaining, like, the difference between inductive and deductive reasoning.
I think one weak spot I have in this realm is to be pretty averse to conflict, to the point of caring about people's, like, thoughts and opinions, or even feelings about what's true versus what Scripture says. So I can be pretty susceptible to when somebody, like, in the example of the person dating non-believer, like, my first thought is like, oh, I mean, shouldn't go break up with that person just because it's wrong necessarily. But it's like, well, no, it is wrong, so it's still a good outcome, but extreme example. But yeah, that, like, wanting to not necessarily derail somebody or bruise somebody's ego, even if it is in conflict with the truth.
It feels a little superficial, but I feel like in this page 74, I don't remember. It's so funny because I have a little bit of getting your personal, like, kind of, I feel like on the superficial level, like, I keep imagining, okay, so we have a group. I have no idea who's going to be in this group, and, like, just setting the tone, I feel like, is going to be so important. Because I remember even back to, like, when we started, you know, checking out community groups, like, if I didn't in the first 5 minutes feel like at ease, I was like, no, we're never coming back. Like, so just making, and obviously, like, that was going to be my own issue, but just even, like, praying for people who are going to be in our group and being willing to, like, make it a really comfortable space for them, knowing that, like, some of them have maybe never been to church or have been turned off by the church for whatever reason. And just, like, I don't know, meeting them where they're at, but then also being willing to, like, ask them a difficult question, or, like, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, clarifying things, you know, because what they think and believe is probably very different than what I've been brought up to believe, or making a space where like people will feel comfortable initially, but then also like pressure on us to like not shy away from hard questions or difficult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I have talked about that too, because we both are like pretty extreme introverts and like real awkward. We're like, what if we're leading this group and like we're so awkward and we're so bad at making small talk and like it's just really weird, and then like the normal people leave, and then it's just a bunch of weird people, and like everybody's awkward. We just have like five really awkward people in a room who like don't know how to talk to each other.
Yeah, it could happen.
That's
you know.
Right.
I mean, well, one thing you can always get some bubbly hosts. You know, like they'll be the ones that like welcome in. Hey, how's it going? You know, but all that stuff. Like, man, know yourself. Like, I do think we have plenty of introverts who are CG leaders. I'm one of them. Learning how to grow and stretch and like making small talk, and you know, especially and it's not just introverts, but for the most part, it's also specific personalities. When you're like, okay, can we talk about important stuff? Like, I don't care about like how your day was at all. Like, you know, some of that's just like slowing down and you know, letting other people's priorities be your priorities for a moment. But then also, like, it's also okay for your group to take on some culture. You know, of like, oh, we love each other. We're interested in one another's life. But like, if a lot of us are introverts, we don't necessarily have to shy away from that. You know. I did want to get back to. So, for example, I had at my group this past week, I had a new couple. At least my read on the situation, I was like, I don't think I'm getting the real you. I don't know. I just met you. I don't know. We got to a point in conversation where like things were just staying a little bit superficial. So like I went ahead and kind of put some mess on the table, like out of my life, where God has been like really kind to me, in the hopes that they would at least know what we do here. You know, like not to say, hey, you're doing it wrong. Not to say that you need to do that tonight. But if you come back, like, I just want you to know. What we do here is we don't posture. And again, not as a corrective, but like there's freedom in being able to talk about our mess and see how the gospel gives us hope, how Jesus meets us there. And I could not tell if it affected them, if they were weirded out by it. I don't know if they'll be back, anything like that. I do think, again, back to the like leading in vulnerability, I do think that there is some tone setting. And I do think that we as leaders a lot of times end up in some uncomfortable positions where it's like, nobody is saying anything real. And if I want you to do it, I have to be willing to do it. Which again can be hard for introverts. But. Okay, let's talk about know the gospel, discussion skills, practicals. When it comes to actually leading discussion, what questions do you have? So you were talking about you mentioned one was if you got somebody who says something off the wall, right? Yeah. No. Oh, say what?
Unhelpful questions and rabbit trails.
Yeah. Sure. That comes up a lot. Two things I think helpful to think through. One of them is when things are going the way you didn't plan, but it's not bad. And things are going wacky. Things are going a different way and it's not what you had planned. Kind of back to the, if somebody leads discussion into an area I wasn't planning on, like you can read the room and just be like, oh, is everybody kind of clued in on this? Is, you know, did somebody bring up a struggle that they're having and everybody else is like, yeah, man, me too. Cool, like let's toss like these questions out the window and like let's talk about this, because this seems to be hitting the life of the group. So being able to not be so committed, you know, to the plan I had for this discussion. And sometimes that's the rest of group, and sometimes it's just a little bit. And so, you know, if that sacrifices us getting through a couple questions, like, it's okay, provided, like, we're kind of all going the same direction. You know, if you've got a specific question about this passage and it's like pretty niche or something, that's when I'm more like, so, okay, so back up. If everybody's going in that direction, how you might help them there is if somebody asks a question, instead of just trying to answer their question, just being like, what does everybody else think? Like, let's kick it back to the group so that it's not I'm the authority and I just answer all of your questions, but that we are trying to, like, navigate things together. So anything I think you can do, if it does make sense for the, like, discussion of the group, kick it back to the group. Let's go there. I think that can be helpful if it's pretty niche and it is, especially if it's small and you know the answer to the question, you can just answer it real quick and then keep everybody going. That makes sense. That's like good stuff that doesn't really interrupt things. Wacky stuff. Sometimes people ask questions and you can sort of tell they are primarily interested with scripture, like it's Legos. How does everything fit together? Not what does it say to my life? So, how does this passage stand up against that passage? Anything like that? Like, again, sometimes people ask those sorts of questions because they're interested in what it says about the world. And sometimes they're just interested in either showing off what they know or stirring up a debate or something. And you have those people. And that's okay. Managing those sorts of things, I think it's perfectly fine sometimes to be like, actually, can we talk about that after? Let's just talk about that after. Let's keep on going with our discussion. Is that okay with you? You know, that sort of thing. I think that can be helpful. Sometimes we're going to take a rabbit trail. And again, I'm just trying to make it short so that we can get back to the discussion. If somebody does it habitually, then I think we're probably going to have some sort of protracted conversation, you know, after group or something. Like, hey, you know, I've noticed that you typically ask this sort of thing. I've noticed that typically we're going off into some weird direction, or you've got a doctrinal hobby horse that you keep on riding here. Like, we talked about predestination in the last 2 weeks. We're not talking about this week. Anything like that. Just to be able to say, like, hey, do you know what we do here? Like, what we do here is it's not just about you trying to, like, railroad the conversation. It's like, we're actually all trying to go to the scriptures together. That sort of thing, that can be helpful in a number of situations. If you've got a super talker, somebody who just dominates time, if they're new to the group, they do it once, okay, we'll get through it. They do it twice, like, I'm going to try to manage the conversation, try to, like, ask other people. Don't feel bad if you need to mute somebody. Like, I've done it before. Somebody's talking, like, hey, could you actually just hold off for a minute? I just want to hear from everybody. You know, like, a little bit of confrontation, but, like, you can do it. And especially if it's like somebody that you have a pre-existing relationship with, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to mute you for just a minute. They'll be understanding, you know? But if you've got somebody who, like, dominates conversation all the time, it's really interrupting group, being able to have the after class conversation, like, hey man, this is what it's doing into group. Like, I don't know what's going on in you, but do you see what it's doing? That sort of thing. Just a compassionate, hey, let's work on this together, can be helpful. I feel like there's another one.
I feel like,
oh, sorry, go.
One that, you know, when we went through in the past is like external processors, where they're not necessarily trying to take us on a ride.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But their thought, I'm someone that has a bent towards this anyway, but their thought doesn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And since they're saying it out loud, I think people feel like they need to respond to it. But I think it's okay. I just feel like, awesome. Like, just kind of not disregard it, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes, because we've even had groups where, like, they feel like we need to go down that hole when it's really just someone thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really them contributing.
It's helpful when that person knows it and they say, I'm just thinking out loud and I'm good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's not, and yeah, there might be a confusion of, oh, we need to, like, unpack that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we don't every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you can tell, I'm an external processor. And we have, there's one guy in group, like every once in a while, man, he externally processes, and we get to the end of it, and I'm like, I have no idea what you just said. Like, I was trying to do my job well, and I don't know what you said. And so there are sometimes, you got somebody in group who does that, don't you?
Huh?
I said, y'all got somebody in group who does that, don't you? Uh-huh. And so if you've got somebody who always bites, like if there's one person in group who like, I can never let it go, I always have to like, you know, whatever, then again, that sort of after class, like, hey, so-and-so, they're just externally processed, it's okay. Modeling that as a leader can also be really helpful. But yeah, and yeah, especially as a leader, if you're like, that's awesome. Or if as a leader, you're honest enough to be able to say, hey, I'm sorry, I spaced off for a minute. Can you summarize everything you just said? Like, that could be helpful for everybody, you know? Yep. There's another, in terms of the, like, after-class conversation, there's another scenario that I cannot think of right now. We might come to it. But just know, keep that in your back pocket. Like, if things are going really south, that's usually a good thing to do. Okay, so what other questions do you have? Actually leading discussion. Yep.
What if somebody says something that's extremely incorrect, like inappropriate? You don't want to, kind of like the leader in that example saying, like, how to handle, let's say I said something that biblically incorrect. Obviously, as a leader, you don't want to make them sound stupid, but like, how would you preface that?
Yep. Two things. If it's small and can be overlooked, overlook it. So if I don't know, somebody like really, really wants to make a point about like there were dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden, like, okay, whatever. Let's keep on talking about what we're talking about. Especially if we're not looking at Genesis 1. Let's just keep talking about what we're talking about. However, so we want to give space to be able to say things that not everybody agrees with, right? Especially if you've got doubters, seekers in the room, you want them to be able to say, I don't believe this, and not have everybody jump all over them. So there are times where I think that we should kind of overlook certain things. However, there are times when doing so communicates to the rest of the group that that thing is more open-handed than we intended to be. So, example, I had a group leader once tell me, they had somebody in group say that they did not believe Adam and Eve were historical people. They thought they were either an allegory, could have even been amoeba, something, I don't know. Not actual people. People evolved over time. It's just a way for us to understand the introduction of sin into the world. If somebody says that in group, like, that's okay. We want people to be able to bring things that we do not think are biblically sound. However, if you as a leader, if they're a professing Christian and you as a leader move past something like that, then it can, consequently communicate to the rest of group. That is a tenable position. So there are some times when I do think it makes sense for you as a leader to say, like, if we're in Genesis in that discussion, then I might be a little bit longer in my explanation about, like, hey, I just, when I read Genesis 1 through 3, I don't think it's trying to tell us about metaphorical people. I don't think, like, when at the end of Genesis 2, Moses says, because of these two people, we marry. And when Jesus brings up marriage later and he references the Garden of Eden, it sure seems like he's talking about actual people. So when I read what we're reading, like, I just don't see that. Being able to communicate something like that then helps the group kind of know as a whole, like, we have a little bit of misalignment in terms of how we're reading the scriptures, and we could discuss this further. That could be the end of it. If we aren't in Genesis, it just comes up, like, we're reading something else. Somebody's like, I don't think Adam and Eve were real people. Like, okay. I just wouldn't agree with you. But, like, let's get back to discussion. Maybe something a little bit like that can make sense. And so that's to say, it's not going to be 100% clear, right? Like, that's a situation where you're like, man, that's not right. And I don't think I'm doing you a service by not just saying something, even if it's just, hey, I would just disagree, you know? But that, again, it's not going to be 100% clear. You're going to have to test the waters a little bit. And you might not get it right. Like, somebody might say something crazy, and then, you know, after the fact, somebody is like, wait, do you think that? And so I might have to do a little bit of, like, conversation with other people in the group about that. But long response, but does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I just know, like,
any follow-up questions about that? That's often talked about. It's kind of a hard situation to know how to handle.
I guess it's maybe not, maybe it's like for another week when we're talking about like sharing our lives, but do we get any guidance on like, okay, this is when you need to like, if this is happening in your group, this is when you need to like ask me for help. Like, you know, if we have people coming in and they're like, my marriage is struggling, and then we like are dealing with that as a group, but like at what point do we go beyond us? Or like, I don't know, if there is someone coming in every week saying like weird off the wall like doctrinal stuff that's like beyond us, when do we like say, hey, I need help with this, like this person, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Your relationship with your coach, hopefully, you know, you have like monthly, every other month conversations, you know, especially if there's something that's like over time, you probably already talked about it. But everything that you just said sounds like the feeling I'm in over my head. Man, when you feel like that, call up your coach, you know? And that's somebody asked a question and I didn't know the answer to it and I felt really dumb, or, you know, anything like that. Your coaching relationship is really helpful. However, I don't want to put you leaders in positions where you're like doomed to failure. And I don't think that I am. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God. However, you as leaders will end up in a situation where you're in over your heads. And so we've got coaches, I'm on hand, like you need biblical counselors, we got recommendations, like we've got some stuff in place to help you when you are in over your heads. But just go ahead and know, at some point, something's going to happen.
Are there any, I guess I'm also coming at this as my like teacher view of like mandated reporter.
Yeah.
If the kid says this, you immediately come to us for this. Are there any like hard and fast situations like that? Or like, again, and that might not be this week.
Yep, that's week six.
Okay.
Week six, we're going to talk about handling conflict in group. When do certain situations turn into church discipline? And we'll cover mandated reporting. Yep. Back to just like specific skills. Maybe even use, I know we only have a couple more minutes, like what problems do you foresee? Well, like what are you scared of encountering in group? Anything like that? Any other last questions?
Maybe one thing, yeah. I guess, is not a concern, but mm-hmm. like just burnout, just discussion burnout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially you've got a group of people years that have been coming. And you know, like correct me if I'm wrong, it should be like refreshing with other believers, but sometimes it's just, oh, it's Wednesday at 7, I'm going to get to talk about a sermon I maybe was or wasn't there before. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, so I guess as leaders, specifically on discussion weeks, like how do we gauge and maybe manage that well?
Yep. I think having other people in the rotation for facilitating the discussion is super helpful. I think you should have somebody else leading discussion like once every 6 weeks. If you don't have anybody in group who's like super interested, or you know, that can happen. But if you can, I think it's just super helpful. That gives you a week off. having set rhythm. We're going to talk about rhythms next week, but having set rhythms of, at least once a quarter on Wednesday night instead of discussion, we just have like dinner and a game night or something. Those sorts of things can be helpful. Over summers, I encourage people to have a reduced rhythm, not necessarily just take the summer off, but a reduced rhythm. We'll talk about that next week. So there are a couple things like that. But I think, man, know yourself, especially if you're like, how I'm running right now, whether that's in community group or my life is crazy right now, how I'm running right now, I don't enjoy this. I'm definitely headed towards some sort of burnout. Have a conversation with your coach, have a conversation with your group, man. The last thing that I want leaders to do is to go down in flames because they're just trying to keep doing it. That's the last thing. That's not caring for y'all, for leaders. So you need a month off, you need 3 months off. We can figure stuff out. Yeah. And I think your group will be understanding. That's a really good question. Last thing that I did want to mention, I kind of had a little list of things that I did want to get to in practicals that we didn't get to, is we talked about external processors, internal processors. Just one thing that can be really helpful, mentioned it in the discussion skills, is leaving space, asking a question, and then just letting there be some silence. And that can be really uncomfortable. Anybody super uncomfortable by silences? Oh, wow. Okay. I usually have one. To be able to ask a question and let it sit. And when I facilitate, I try to make a commitment to myself. I am not going to be the first person that breaks the silence. It doesn't matter how long we need to sit here. I'm not going to be the first person to break the silence. If I didn't ask the question well and I need it reiterated, you can develop a rhythm in your group where people will say, hey, can you repeat the question? I'm going to let it sit and we're going to discuss it. Super helpful. In college, I was in a community group with a woman named Joelle, and Joelle rarely spoke in group. And then 1 week, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but it just came up and she was like, yeah, usually by the time I've had time to internally process and kind of realize what I think about this, you've already moved to the other question. And so I can't keep up. I don't contribute because you're going too fast. And so we slowed down. And man, she was super insightful because she was sitting there for a minute or something thinking really intently about what it meant for her life, so that is one thing. You can feel a lot of pressure when you're facilitating, seconds feel like minutes. So to let things just kind of slow down and be able to give people space to think. And sometimes people are thinking, sometimes people are spacing out just thinking about something stupid. But to be able to give space, I think, is really helpful. If you have any follow-ups, anything I didn't get to, let me know. Next week, we're getting into Live the Gospel. You're going to read Rhythms out of Brad House's book, Community. Great resource in terms of how do we do life outside group. We'll talk about why that's important, and just what are we going for in this whole community life thing. So here, let me pray for us, and then we'll get out here. Father, thank you for these people. Kind of back to week one, we know a little bit of what we're talking about is the tomato cage, that how we do discussion, how we do these questions, the observation, interpretation, application, all this stuff is subject to change. We're just trying to do something that's faithful. But Father, we really need you for there to be fruit born. So would you teach us how to be good discussion facilitators? Would you teach us how to ask good questions, how to let there be silence, all that stuff? But Father, if we do all of that and your spirit doesn't move in our groups, nothing will happen. So please be with us. Teach us how to cultivate community, how to bless people, how to lead them to your word. Father, and when we get to do that, would you speak to them? In your name we pray. Amen.